Beginning with verse 31, glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the religious leaders who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then truly you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But they answered, we are descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean? We will be made free. Then Jesus said to them, whoever sins is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household, but the son is there forever. If the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to head out for Word for Children. Cassie's reading it's Jennifer Jones Won't Leave Me Alone. Was that written by Rachel Holman? How about that? A curling joke from your American pastor. I haven't read that book. It should be good. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Does anybody remember merry-go-rounds? They don't have them in playgrounds anymore, do they? I think they're dangerous. I know the way I played on them was dangerous. So those of you that may not know what a merry-go-round, it's sort of like a carousel, only carousels actually are powered, you know, there's a motor driving them. A merry-go-round, it's just this big round platform with some handles on it that will spin. And so you can sit there, and it usually takes a little oomph and gumption, but you kind of push it, and you get it going, and then when it's too fast to get it going any faster, you hop on, and then you stay on there and go round and round and round. And if you're lucky enough to get it going really fast, you can get dizzy, and it's really cool. I thought as a kid. But there's a saying what is the saying? It's something about, I can't get off the merry-go-round. Have you heard that? It's like, I can't get off the merry-go-round. There's this idea that first of all, if you do get it going fast, and it's spinning pretty good, it's a little bit dangerous to get off. Because if it's going really fast, then when you get off, of course, the ground is standing still, but you're flying by. And so when you hit the ground, either you have to hit it running, or typically, if it's going really fast, you just fly off and roll, and I'm sure that's why they don't have them in playgrounds anymore, because kids would get hurt, like me. But I think sometimes we have that experience. Actually, I think we all have that experience of being on merry-go-rounds, and we just can't get off. We just can't get off, or we choose not to get off. Somehow, the merry-go-round just keeps on spinning, and we're scared that if we try to get off, we will get hurt or maybe even die. Now, of course, I hardly ever talk about tangible things, right? I'm going to talk about use merry-go-round as a metaphor. The merry-go-round that I have lived on most of my life, and still the one that I seem to somehow want to get back on, is the merry-go-round that's all about doing things so that people will like me, doing things so that people will please me. And it started way back when I was young. I think some of you have heard the story about my dad told me to sweep out the carport, and I was 4-year-old little Philip was sweeping out the carport, and he said, you're not doing that right. And so my little 4-year-old brain said, oh, there's a right way to do it, and I'm supposed to know how to do that. I'm supposed to know what it is and to do that. And it sounds, actually, it's not a bad way to live in terms of getting good grades and having people like you, but underneath it was a fear. It was a fear that I wouldn't be loved, that I wouldn't be accepted, that I wouldn't be liked, that I wouldn't be pleased, that people wouldn't be pleased with me. And that's a merry-go-round that for most of my life, or at least half my life, I didn't even know I was on. It was driving everything I was doing, and because I was on that merry-go-round, there are some things I didn't do. Like if there's an opportunity to try something new and I didn't know how to do it, and there's an opportunity for failure, if there's any way, I stayed away. Because I'm supposed to know the right way to do things. Now, I didn't, anything new, I wouldn't know. That fear kept me from, it kept me certainly from getting up and speaking in public as a child. Because that's fraught with all kinds of failures. The opportunities for failures. And over as I look back in my life, I see the price I paid by staying on that merry-go-round. Now, that's the merry-go-round that I was on, in that I must confess, still wants to pull me back on. But each of you, I would assert, or invite you to try on, is that you have your own merry-go-round. Certainly, it's easy to point to folks that are addicts of drugs, and things like that. Oh, they're on the drug merry-go-round. It's the thing. It's easy to see other people's merry-go-round. Some of you may be on the merry-go-round of, what's that? There's one about codependency, which is kind of a version of mine. It's just like getting all of your worth and self-image from what other people think of you and getting them to have them be dependent upon you, so there's this codependency. And it's a very vicious cycle. But it could be as simple as just a work merry-go-round, that every day your life is about work. And it just keeps going and going and going. You seem to get off for a second, but actually your time away from work is simply getting prepared for your next opportunity or next time you have to work. It could be, I mean, there's relationships. There's, golly, it seems like a lot of people are stuck on the food merry-go-round. You know that you shouldn't eat too much, but you do. You know you shouldn't eat that food, but you do. That's one I can get on very easily. But just, I invite you to try on and notice, is there something that's automatic in your life that seems to have a hold of you that won't let go? And what has you not get off the merry-go-round is fear. The thing that keeps us on the merry-go-round, the thing that keeps us from actually having an adult conversation with ourselves is fear. For me, it was fear of not being loved. It may be fear of not having a purpose. It may be fear of not having companionship. It may be fear of not feeling good, or the fear of feeling so bad if you get off. The fears are all over the place. But what has us stay on merry-go-rounds that take us away from life is fear. About 500 years ago, there was a guy named Martin Luther who was trapped on a merry-go-round. The way I would describe his merry-go-round is he was scared to death of going to hell. Scared to death. And in that time, the Catholic Church was basically saying, if you do all these things, then maybe you'll be with God in heaven and not have to go through purgatory. And so Martin Luther, he was so scared that as he became a priest, he became a priest in order to be holy enough so that he knew that he would be with Jesus when he died. And so, but that didn't cure it, because no matter how hard he tried to do the right thing, he would still, even if he did the right thing, he'd have impure thoughts or sinful thoughts, and then right away he was back on the merry-go-round. And he was very clear it was killing him. And then one day he happened on a passage in Scripture that told him, that assured him, that spoke to him that you're saved by grace through faith, not by your works. And that threw him off the merry-go-round. It threw him off the merry-go-round. Because he realized that this whole life of doing and doing and doing in order, it's just like, it wasn't God's desire. In that moment, Martin Luther met the truth. The truth was the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth was Jesus Christ, who is love incarnate, who is grace incarnate, who desires for us to be free. Today's gospel, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders who wanted to believe in him. But he also knew that they were trapped on their own merry-go-round. He says, if you continue in my word, if you will live out my word, if you will trust me, you will be my disciples and you will be made free. And they were so caught on their merry-go-round that they couldn't see it. We all have our merry-go-round. The word, fancy word we use is sin. We're all trapped by sin unless we allow ourselves to be made free by living into, by trusting Jesus, by continuing to do his word and to believe that his promise that the full life comes if you lead a life of love, a life of trusting God, a life of living in service to your neighbor. And that neighbor word includes a lot of folks. If you trust that, it gives you the courage to get off the merry-go-round. Today, we have a couple of young people who are promising to get off the merry-go-round. They're going to say that, yes, their intention is to live a life of faith. Pretty audacious. They're almost too young to be doing that, aren't you? Some of us are still seeking to live into our intention, to figure out what it looks like. But there's some power in making a promise and stating an intention that creates the possibility of that to happen. So I'm going to invite them to come up and read their life of faith statements. And they're informed by the promises they'll be making officially in a few minutes. But as they do so, I invite you to think about your merry-go-rounds, about the intention that most of you, almost all of you, made at some point to live amongst God's faithful people, to strive for truth and justice and peace, to love others, because the promises they're making are also the promises that you made when you affirmed your baptism and made your confirmation. So Jamie and Keem, why don't you come on up to the pulpit? So you don't need a handheld. That way you have a place to put your papers, and I'll let you choose who goes first.
Through confirmation, I've come to know God as a protector and a friend, and I know he sees me as his child. I think it is important to share my relationship with God and others. I plan to be connected with and involved with the church by helping around the church and by talking to friends who share the same faith as me about God and his scripture. I need to nurture my relationship with God. I will do that by coming to church, reading the Bible when I have the chance, being around the people of the same faith, and taking part in the Lord's Supper. Being kind, understanding other people's problems, and learning how to help. I hope to have people experience God's grace through me. I also intend to encourage by helping to put a smile on people's faces and make sure they have someone to be around with when they are down. It breaks my heart and it breaks God's heart to see his children suffering in other countries. I will donate to fundraisers and help spread awareness about other people's situations so that eventually money can get to someone who can really help.
My relationship with God is very important to me because as soon as I got baptized, I knew that I was officially a child of God. And for me, I felt that even when I was little, if I didn't have someone to talk to, I could always talk to God because that I know that no matter what, he's there for me and he always listens. There were many times where I could feel his presence and love. I feel that if I continue to go to worship and read the Bible, I can stay connected with God because I know the church is the house of God and I'm always welcome there. I'm very thankful for our loving and caring pastors, my amazing mentor, and our congregation as well. In addition to attending worship, I plan to continue to listen to God by reading the Bible, because even if I can't speak to him face to face, I can still read the words in the Bible, and I know that's what he wants me to do as a Christian. I think I will always walk in God's grace by following the Ten Commandments. I will also spread the love of God by always trying to be kind to everyone, because I know that as a Christian, that is what God would want me to do. I hope to help others by being kind and helping wherever I can. And in the future, I decided to be a nurse because I think that's a very good way to help and heal people. What breaks my heart is how people treat others so poorly, and that people die every day from other people's cruel actions, and also how we are starting to care less and less about our planet. It's almost like people are taking it for granted, and soon it could be inhabitable. So to make a difference, I realize that there is change to be made, and I should spread the word about helping to save our beautiful planet. Like, for example, recycling, not littering, and not using as much plastic, because even little things can make a difference.
You go ahead and sit back down. Actually, let's give him a round of applause. You know, I talked about how I was afraid of being a failure and not doing things right. I put off having my confirmation for at least 6 months because I was scared to death to get up and do that, to speak in public. So, well done, parents. You should be really proud. It does point to the power of speaking. Jesus' invitation, actually his statement is, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. If to get off the merry-go-round, whatever merry-go-round you're stuck in, it begins with speaking. It begins saying, yes, I believe the promises God made. Yes, I want to be truly a disciple of Jesus. And to commit, recommit to the possibility of living as Jesus' disciple. To trust that that life that you may know that's off the merry-go-round is full of life, is full of freedom, is full of love and grace. As we continue our service today, because there's some more work these two got to do in a few minutes, I invite you to just dwell in what it looks like for you to trust in God's word, to truly be Jesus' disciples, and to allow that relationship with God to set you free. Amen.